Hello, 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 and welcome to the First Taste reading series on the Day Beautiful podcast feed. I'm Adam Fitcavage, and on this version of the podcast, I invite a writer to read from their debut book so readers can get a first taste of exactly what they're in for. If you like what you hear here, check us out on daybeautiful.net and on all social media at daybeautiful. Today's guest is a writer and illustrator living in Richmond, Virginia. Her fiction has been published in The Rumpus, Catapult, and Joyland, among other publications. Her story in Hyphen was a 2017 winner of the Penn Robert J. Dow Short Story Prize for Emerging Writers and was featured on LeVar Burton Reads. Her debut short story collection, A Small Apocalypse, is out now. Please welcome Laura Chow Reeve. Hey, Laura, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm a little tired. I just had my book release party this weekend, so
yes.
I'm feeling a little sleepy.
I feel
but
you.
So excited to be here.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, I tend to record these like early. I'm in Denver, so I'm usually a few hours, you know, I'm always a few hours back from the East Coast. And I give like writers and publicists the window, and you know, it's like, but most people choose the earliest East Coast offering because it's like the middle of the day for you all. But I'm like, I haven't had coffee yet, but we'll make this happen. Anyway, yeah. I feel you. How was the launch? How was the party?
It was so fun. I chose to really make it a party.
Yeah.
My friends came in and we made like paper chains for decorations. It was like a really cute time. It was great.
That is so fabulous. I loved your short story collection, A Small Apocalypse. Could you tell readers a little bit about what the collection is as a whole, how it came to be, why you chose these stories? I'd love to hear more about your debut.
Yeah, so I like to think of A Small Apocalypse as really being about haunting, like the things that haunt us, the things that haunt these characters in particular, and queer and mixed race Asian American characters. So sometimes that is in the shape of literal hauntings, like we do have ghosts in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's more metaphorical. And also it's like, you know, I think on the jacket copy, it's like heavily steeped in Florida. A lot of the collection takes place in Florida. There are a few connected stories, though it's not a fully linked collection. And those stories all take place in Florida and all kind of revolve around this queer chosen family. I've been writing this book for 10 years. The first story I wrote was 1,000-year-old ghosts in 2014. And, you know, now here it is as like a full collection. So
it's terrific. I loved it so much. The cover is gorgeous. The stories are gorgeous. I have only been to Florida once, and it was in Pensacola for a music festival that I was covering. I don't even know what it was called. The Luna Fest. I don't even know if it still exists, to be honest with you. This was a lifetime ago. I will stop rambling about it, but it just like unlocked a memory. But anyway, I've only been to Florida once. It was a very specific part of Florida, like the panhandle, right? But I do enjoy like Florida stories. Yours, Dantel Moniz, Lauren Groff, Kristen Arnett. There's so many great Florida adjacent writers.
Yeah.
Love Florida.
What a great crew to be a part of.
Yeah, definitely. And what story from the collection will you be reading for us today?
I'm going to be reading from A Small Apocalypse, so the story that the collection is named after. I'm happy to talk a little bit more.
Yeah, feel free to set it up. Don't set it up. Do whatever feels right to you. I will
let you take it away.
Great. So I'm going to start more in the middle of this story and just read a little bit about it. But so far in the story, we've met Melissa, who is a part of that kind of crew of queer folks that pop up every once in a while in the collection. And it's a hurricane, and she has decided to, or agreed to, watch over this independent movie theater that she works at. While the hurricane is happening, and she's doing it pretty chaotically, including she's decided to like screen all these like apocalyptic and post-apocalyptic movies while she's in there. And I'll just get started from there. Popcorn fell on the floor. Kernels nestled themselves in the seats and got lost underneath counters, probably never to be found again. Melissa continued to refill her bowl. The never-ending snack coated her hands with grease and salt. Her bra would smell like popcorn and butter and smoke for days after. If there were any days after. Florida was not exactly her home state, but she had built a home among the heat, humidity, and swamp grouch. Melissa had moved from Seattle, tired of the rain and North Face jackets, and in search of something a little more, a little more, a little more something. There had also been a girl who Melissa felt strong love feelings for. Ashley had pulled Melissa towards Florida, towards this northeast city just south of the Georgia border. Ashley was lovely and tender, and she had sprouted from the Florida soil as if by magic, sundress and all. There had been about a year of domestic bliss, the promise of a one-day dog and a yard that was always overgrown. But Ashley had ruined things by breaking up with Melissa. Not for any big reasons, just for lots of small ones. And then Melissa compounded that ruining by dating Lou so quickly afterward. It wasn't like she invented the messiness of queerness, but there were moments when Melissa felt like she exemplified it. There were moments when the shame crept up from the ground and held her at the ankles, unable to move. Still, Melissa remained dedicated to Florida despite its refusal of her. Move here, her best friend living in Philadelphia texted her almost every day. I have an extra room and can help you get a job. I don't know. What do you have keeping you there? Well, there's the theater, Melissa thought, and manatees who swim in crystal blue water, and alligators that hide in algae, and sweet southern women who call me darling and sweetie when they hand me my change. I'm just not ready to leave, she said. It was 2 a.m. when the power went out. Melissa woke up to the sound of wind pushing and pulling at the building. Her body already missing the air conditioning, she found it hardest to sleep when her feet were too warm. She had fallen asleep in the balcony of the large theater on an old air mattress and the dirty pair of sheets she'd grabbed from her hamper on her way out the door. She fell twice, bumped her elbow and her toes 3 times on her way down to the lobby. I didn't think this through, she thought, stumbling through the dark without a flashlight. Melissa looked out through the theater's glass doors. The street looked different without the light of the marquee. Clouds covered the moon, but small bits of light came through and she could see trees bending until they were horizontal and sheets of the rain hitting the ground. There were no cars parked in front of the theater, no headlights illuminating the streets. For all intents and purposes, Melissa was completely alone. It was in this almost darkness that Melissa asked her dead friend Rebecca questions. Do you think I'm going to die in this theater? She asked aloud. Will the lights come on? When? Are there night mice in places I can't see? Do you think I'm a bad person? Was what happened at the Center for Women my fault? What about with Ashley? Were you mad at me when you died? Did you think about me at all? Do you know how much we miss you? What's it like to die? How am I supposed to survive this apocalypse without you? After each question, she paused, but only for a second. The questions rushed out of her, so much easier to ask them as the pounding of the rain quickly hushed any other sound in its path. She could barely hear herself. Instead, she let each word get swept away by the rushing water. Melissa ho had hoped that talking to Rebecca in the haunted theater would make it easier for her friend to respond, that maybe in this spooky space, there was some sort of portal to whatever dimension Rebecca was now in that would allow her to come back. Then again, maybe Rebecca hadn't considered Melissa that good of a friend. Maybe she was only an acquaintance who dated and slept with two of her closest friends. Maybe Melissa's grief was overblown, outsized given the con given the connection they'd actually shared when Rebecca had been alive. Why would a ghost haunt a friend of a friend? And I'll stop there.
Thank you so much to Laura for reading from her debut short story collection, A Small Apocalypse, which is out now. Get it at your favorite independent bookstore or online at bookshop.org. You can find her on the internet at laurachowfun.com, on Twitter and Instagram at laurachowfun, and you can find Day Beautiful at daybeautiful.net, or on all social media at Day Beautiful. And as always, I'm Adam. This is Day Beautiful, and you're all beautiful.